You're listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 107. Welcome to the All Day Rock Off podcast, episode number 107. This is your host, Brian, and I wanted to thank you so much for tuning in. The All Day Rock Off podcast focuses on the GRT and rucking community and includes interviews, motivation, and advice to keep you informed and get you ready for your next event. In this episode, we have Yori on to talk about rucking with your kids. I had a great time talking with him. His kids are older than mine. They're 8 and 10, and they've been doing the GoRuck monthly rucking challenges with him. There's just a ton of great advice, a ton of great stories in this episode, and a ton of great motivation to get out there, make rucking fun for your kids, and build some awesome memories. If you don't have kids, but have friends who you want to get out there rucking, then you can substitute your friends in for the kids in some of these scenarios. Ways to make it more fun and make it less of a workout about the miles and more about the time you spend with them. So there's definitely a couple ways that you can sub them in if you don't have any kids. Before we get into the episode, I just want to take a second and say thank you so much to Brian for being a patron on Patreon. I really, truly appreciate that and appreciate you supporting the podcast that way. Just wanted to let you know that. And as always, a huge thank you to everyone else who supports on Patreon and to you for downloading this, listening. Truly appreciate you as well. With all that out of the way, here is the interview with Yori. Today, I'm talking with Yori. I'm really excited to have him on the call. We're going to talk about rucking and getting your kids involved. He's got two sons, both of which have been doing the GoRuck monthly rucking challenges with him. And so I'm just really excited to hear how that's going, hear how that started, you know, get his input on getting kids involved and just have a great conversation. So Yori, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so well. Thanks so much for having me on, Brian. I really appreciate it. You have a great show that I love to listen to every single week.
I really appreciate that. Thank you. So before we get into getting your kids involved in GoRuck and rucking and those monthly challenges, I would love to hear, we talked about it a little bit before we started recording, but how did you get involved in GoRuck and rucking and kind of what's your story behind that?
My story is about 5 years ago, I wound up getting separated and I was relatively really sedentary up in that point and I hadn't really done anything and I was like 245-ish pounds. So I found CrossFit and I started doing that and I did that for a couple of years. I still do that now and I wound up along the way, I dropped weight to like 195, 200 pounds. That's like completely changed my life. And after a couple of years, I was looking for some workouts and stuff to do at home. So I started researching sandbags and I saw GoRuck made great sandbags. So I ordered a couple sandbags using them, liked them. And then a couple of years later, so this would have been 2017, I was looking for just other cool fitnessy sort of things to do and thought of GoRuck, looked on their site, took a deep breath, and decided to sign up for a Light in Chicago in early 2018, and then a Tough and some other Toughs and Lights throughout the year, and knowing absolutely no one who had done any of those events, knowing absolutely nothing about it. And then in 2018, in March, it was really, really cold. I did a Light with, I believe his name is Cadre Michael S., and we wound up going into Lake Michigan that was unbelievably cold, and the fitness stuff. And I was like, huh, this is a lot harder than I thought that it would be. And that got me involved into Pathfinder and the Pathfinder Forward. And I figured that if I'm doing this, I'll sign up my kids as well. And I signed them up for the Pathfinder Trailblazer. And then, so we started, you know, rucking and doing workouts and stuff together. And actually, if I may also rewind it a little bit, right before that, right after that, but before we started the Pathfinder classes, we went on a family vacation to Georgia. And some of the things we did there is we did a lot of hiking on the Appalachian Trail together. We also did some hiking on the Smoky Mountains. And at one point, we actually hiked about 9 miles. And, you know, my kid they really enjoyed it. I mean, we had a great time walking through the woods, walking up and down some hills, playing all sorts of games together, and it was just really was a lot of fun. And sort of building off of that and just kind of having them work together and do fun things with me, that's sort of the genesis. That's sort of how it started.
So that first event you did, that Gorak Light in Chicago, I mean, beginning of the year, that was with Kadri Michael S?
Yes.
He's a tough one.
He was. I had no idea. I think it's not the hardest welcome party I've had because I've done a heavy. But it certainly was a harder welcome party than I think just about any other tough and any other light that I've had since. I mean, I remember thinking as we're doing this, like we're doing jumping jacks, we're doing all sorts of 8 pounds. I mean, just a lot of work. I'm like, I'm pretty fit. Like I've done a lot of CrossFit. I've done a lot of other things. Like I really shouldn't be feeling like just this exhausted and this worn out. And I looked around and realized like everyone else was exactly the same. Like it was really tough. It was a lot harder than I thought it would be, than I think a lot of other people thought it would be too. And then going into the cold, it was cold. It was probably, it couldn't have been warmer than like 40 degrees. And going into Lake Michigan, that sort of basically put a quick end to the event afterwards because we were just all so cold and then we were covered in sand. It was rough. It was definitely rough.
And so not everyone would walk away from that event ready for the next one. What were your thoughts at the end of that Gorak Light event?
I remember vividly because we had to do a rocking chair, and this is the only time I've had to do a rocking chair in my Gorak career. We're doing a rocking chair. We've got our rucks, I think, either on our chest or on our, I think they're on our chest. We're all, we did do one, only one. It wasn't like one together, just one. Remember, we went down and I felt like I was being waterboarded. And my thought was, I'm never, ever doing another Gorak event again. Like never, ever. Like, I don't care that I signed up for them. Like, this is just horrible. And then like, I guess a couple days later, it's just, I felt a little better about it, realized that just mentally I need to get myself ready to go back in the water again and, you know, and that I would give it another shot.
Those rocking chairs are horrible.
Yeah, they definitely are, especially if the Kadri times it so, you know, the wave crests over you as soon as your head goes underwater.
That had a Gorak Light. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. I mean, I remember during the welcome party, we had a couple people who, there was one person who, I don't remember exactly because I was just kind of focusing on myself. I don't know if he like hyperventilated and passed out, but I just remember that a couple people took him off to the side and like were giving him fluid, like set him down, take his ruck off of him. And he, you know, he decided and he was able to just sort of continue as well. But that was it. And as a matter of fact, he was actually the cadre, one of the cadres at the 12-mile star course in Chicago. And I remember thinking, I really hope he doesn't make this any harder than, you know, than just a normal 12-mile star course. But that light was an experience. It was definitely an experience.
Yeah, I'm sure it was an experience for a lot of people there as well, because it's interesting, the Gorak events, how much can change between cadre. I mean, you've said that you've done a couple of lights, and I'm sure, like you said, you've done Tufts and you've done a heavy, and that was the only one that you had to do rocking chairs at.
Yes. I mean, the other ones, I did a tough with Cadre JC. And for that one, we were in the water. We wound up being blindfolded and zip tied. But I knew that if we were blindfolded and zip tied, obviously we couldn't go too deep in the water. So we basically just kind of rolled around on the edge. And plus it was August, so it was warm. And so the weather was really nice for that. But just, I remember when he was there, just realizing like, this is a light and he's not turning it on. And I had the sense that like, he could make our lives really hard, really easily. It was definitely intimidating. Like the whole experience about it was intimidating. But then I did another light in October with Cadre Dustin. And that was just a completely different experience. There was a lot more learning involved, a lot more like team building things in the sense of someone got up on a stage and we would all put our hands out. And so the person would kind of fall back into our hands. Like, I mean, I don't know if I'd call it a circle of trust, but something like that. It went at a very different pace, like much slower. It was Halloween, so we're all dressed in costumes. We again went into Lake Michigan, but it was sort of optional. He explained to us like, okay, this is what you want to do. You want to basically strip down to just the minimum amount of clothes, go in quickly, get out, and then just like, you know, wipe all your water off. And then, you know, put your clothes back on to keep warm. It was just a completely different experience between that light and that's the one that I had done 6 or 7 months earlier.
It sure sounds like it.
Yeah.
So during your hike on the Appalachian Trail with your boys, is that where, you know, you first started thinking maybe they would like ruck in with you, or where did the idea come to get them involved?
The idea sort of came from two different parts. One part was that they really enjoyed being outdoors, being in nature and being active. And basically, as far as they know, for their whole lives, like, I enjoy being active as well. And it was just really fun for us to spend quality family time together. But also, there was no other distractions. I mean, besides, you know, phones, no electronics, there were basically no other people there either. And I remember the whole time, Isaac, I think he had just turned 7. He was like, he grabbed a stick, kind of looking like a gun, and he was having fun to shoot imaginary bears and just singing songs. And Asher, he was 9 at the time, I believe, was just, he and I were talking about all sorts of different things that we wouldn't normally talk about, and just walking and looking. And because it was the Appalachian Trail and it was near the beginning of the season and the beginning of the start point, from time to time, we would actually come across people who were hiking the Appalachian Trail. And, you know, Asher and Isaac would ask me questions about them. And I would say, well, you know, why don't you go ask them? And then, so, you know, I'd go over and we'd ask them, like, you know, how long have you been here? How long have you hiking? How far are you going? Where do you get supplies? And it was just such a warm, wonderful family experience that, in a sense, was completely unplanned, that it was like, you know, we should continue to do things like this, because it's just, it's fun. And it didn't feel like, you know, I'm intentionally trying to create good memories, but it was just a consequence of what we did.
That sounds like a great time.
It was. And I'll also add that, I mean, just the whole idea of going on that family trip was a really big deal for me, and I'll say for them, because it was just the three of us there for, I think it was 10 days. We live in Chicago, and so it was like a 12-hour drive that we spent over 2 days just to get there. And the three of us had never done anything like that before, go away for like that period of time, that much driving, just sort of to go in that area. And so everything was completely new to us. I mean, here in Chicago and in the Midwest, there's not a lot of mountains. There's not a lot of anything. It's just relatively flat. And so it was just, everything was new and everything was just, was great.
My parents are from Wisconsin. I've got a lot of family back there, and I've got my sister used to live in Chicago, and I've got an aunt and uncle out there as well. And so I know pretty well how flat it can be. So it must have been pretty exciting for them to get out there on that.
I mean, they loved it. I honestly couldn't believe it. It's a shame that we live where we live, because they absolutely loved it out there. I mean, one of the things that we're going to be doing this summer in July, in the middle of July, is that we're going to be going up to the Porcupine Mountains, which is in Michigan, but north of Wisconsin. It's like 7 hours from here. And we're going to be going for 4 days, 3 nights, and doing a lot of hiking and camping. Like, they're on the mountains doing, like, you know, maybe 5 to 10 miles of hiking a day, and then be camping at night. And the three of us are all really excited about it.
I'd be excited about it. I'm not even going and I'm excited about it.
I mean, just the fact that for them, it's like, for them, sleeping in a camp outdoors is a treat. Like, these are things that are treats to them. And it's like, to me as a dad, like, I just consider myself the luckiest guy in the world that they want to do these things, that they're looking forward to and that they're really excited about it. I mean, that's like win-win-win.
Yeah, that's just the coolest. So your kids love being outside. You know, they had a great time on the Appalachian Trail.
Mm-hmm.
From there, how did they get involved in the rucking challenges?
So then what happened is something else along the ways is they both do kids CrossFit. They do that once a week or so, and they both enjoy that. So they have, like, keeping active, doing non-traditional things, like whether it's just burpees or obstacle courses or other sorts of things. So they're good with that. And then something else that we wound up doing that sort of helped indirectly was Asher. He and I went on one of these, they have like long bike rides. So he and I went on a 25-mile bike ride together for, you know, one of the local cities had something. And it took us 3 hours to do that because, you know, 9-year-olds don't necessarily bike at a fast pace. But we finished, and it was long and it was hard. And there were times that he definitely, I'll say, felt like throwing in the towel in his own way. But we definitely, we persevered and we stuck with it. And at the end, he was unbelievably proud of what he had done, was so proud of himself and was just so happy about it. And kind of doesn't remember all of the little parts that were bad along the way, like the parts where he almost wanted to quit. He doesn't remember any of that. So going back to the rucking, so what I wound up doing is I actually wound up getting each of them an echo pag. At the time, I think the kids' rucks weren't necessarily out, and I had gotten my 9-year-old an echo, and then I decided to get the exact same ruck so there'd be nothing to fight over. And then when the January challenge came out, I saw that, you know, based on the timing of when I had the kids and the fact that they didn't have any school and the weather was actually still kind of nice, I was like, you know, the 50 miles may actually be doable for Asher. Like, he really might be able to get 50 miles in. And I talked it over with them. And to be honest, I made a deal with Asher and Isaac. The deal I made with them was I'll give them $1 for every mile. But the deal for Asher was if he gets 25 miles, I think I said I'd give him like $15 or $20. If he gets 49 miles, then he'll only get the $15 or $20. But if he gets the 50 miles, then I'll give him $50. And he was going to use that $50 to buy himself a video game. And for Isaac, I thought the 50 miles might be too much and he might not be able to do it. Basically, it was like $1 a mile. And then I'd give him like a special little Lego set or something if he got there along the way. And he was going to use his money to get a Lego set. So that was sort of like in the back of their mind, like this nice big goal. And then basically, it's just we sort of planned it out and we wound up, I was looking back on it, and we did like 3 to 5 mile rucks like every day for the most part. They were on winter break and my schedule allowed that we had some time off, and the library is like half a mile away from us. So we might walk to the library in the morning, you know, look at some books, come home, like that's a mile. My gym is about a mile from here. So we might walk there, you know, do a workout or something, walk home, that's 2 miles. And at times, Asher and I would just sort of just like go for a walk in the area, like a 2 or 3 mile walk. I think the longest ruck we went on may have been 5 miles. And that itself is broken into long segments. So, I mean, I don't think we're ever out rucking for them more than like an hour at a time. And our pace was constantly like, we never went at really any faster than 2.5 miles an hour. So 25 minute miles or so, just a nice, comfortable talking pace, just talking about all sorts of different things. And ultimately, like Asher was able to get the 50 miles. Isaac stopped at around 30 to 32 miles, and we were both unbelievably proud of themselves. And it was just, you know, just a really good experience that we could just set a long plan, sort of map out how we would do it, discuss everything, and then just sort of go along the way and keep making little progress. I mean, Asher wound up marking down like on his own calendar, like just mile by mile, marking them off as he was going along, and just really proud of himself. And then Isaac was also doing something similar as well.
That's such a good plan. I mean, that's just a number of good decisions, going all the way back, getting them both the same rock. I mean, that's a parenting pro tip right there.
Oh, and also, speaking of parenting pro tips, I said, you know, what patch do you want? And so we went on eBay and looked at patches, spent a lot of time looking at patches. And Asher wound up getting a patch that looks like a Mario patch from a Mario game, because he's a big Mario fan. And then Isaac really likes Star Wars. And so he got, it looks like a Death Star, like a Darth Vader sort of Imperial looking flag that he has on his ruck. And so, you know, the two of them, they're thrilled with their patch.
Yeah, there's so many patches out there, and lots of great ones for kids too. So
yeah, I mean, actually one has a blue ruck and one has a green ruck, but they're both fine with their colors. I mean, some other things that I've learned along the way is that attitude is extraordinarily important. I'd say the most important thing as far as making sure that it's enjoyable is making sure for me that my attitude is, I'll say, on point, that I'm like happy, upbeat, that there's nothing sort of weighing on my mind, that it's not like I want to go fast or I want to do anything different, that there's nothing that I'd rather be doing than doing what I'm doing with them. And even if we plan on like doing 5 miles because we drove someplace special, if we're only able to do 3 or 4 miles or even 2 miles, that's absolutely fine, because they're kids. They're going to have their ups and downs. They're going to get frustrated with each other. Isaac might want to carry 3 sticks and he only has 2 hands. And so he wants Asher to carry a stick for him, and Asher doesn't want to carry a stick. So they might be fighting or whatever it is. And it's just me making sure myself that I'm always in a good mood, always trying to make things as enjoyable, pleasant for everyone, and doing whatever it is that I can do in terms of while we're there rucking, preparing ahead of time, making sure that we have lots of good snacks and food to eat that my kids like, what we do afterwards to kind of celebrate. Maybe we'll go for an ice cream or something, so that the whole entire experience is as enjoyable for them as possible.
Their whole world is relatively small compared to ours. So the things that can, you know, shake them up while they're out there, I mean, it might not even be a passing thought, right? For us, like an extra stick, it's like, whatever, you know, what does it matter? But for them, I mean, that's their everything at that moment, because it's, you know, their worldview is so much littler. So everything is so much more powerful, I guess.
Exactly. And I would also say, as far as it goes, so that was the January one. And then, so the February challenge, which was a mile a day, because I only have my kids half the time, we weren't able to make that work. It just didn't seem, I didn't want to have them do lots and lots of the little PT work along the way. And it just, it really wasn't going to work in the sense that it was designed. March was the Ruck Your Dog. So we did a 5K ruck for that, which worked out really, really well. That was nice, simple, took us about an hour. And then April was the one where we had 7 workouts. And for that one, I asked them that the order, made sure that they knew what all the workouts were. One of the other things is that I'm always very honest with them in terms of like how long a workout's going to be, what it is that we're going to do, because I don't want, you know, if we're going to go do a 2-hour workout, having them think that it's only 30 minutes would just be horrible, because they'll wind up being in a really sour mood. And, you know, that's not creating good expectations for them as far as, so in their own mind, you know, what we can do and how we can prepare. So for April, there were 7 workouts. And I talked with them to find out the order that we were going to do them, because some were easier and some were harder, and just sort of spacing out the easy ones and the hard ones throughout the whole month. And I say the other thing is that, you know, the expectations for myself for the movements is very different than my expectations for the kids. So, you know, for me, a push-up's a push-up. For them, you know, they have more like wiggly worm push-ups. And while I want to make sure that I'm making sure that I'm doing all the reps and everything correctly, I trust them that they're going to be close enough. So, you know, on their way to counting to 20, maybe they'll skip a number, maybe they'll do too many. That's fine. The key thing is that we're all basically doing the same movements at the same time. And it winds up being for Isaac, my 8-year-old, that for him, when I asked him, you know, what his favorite part of doing the workouts was, he said that he likes working together and that we're all going at the same pace. Like that was the most important thing for him. Because sometimes if we're walking or rucking a little bit, his older brother will go a little bit in front of him, or his older brother will do the movements a little bit faster than him. And he really doesn't like that at all. So making sure that we're all doing things at the same pace.
Yeah, it can be tough when the, you know, the age is so close. 2 years of growth is a huge amount. So in terms of endurance, and especially at that age.
Right. And especially it's like sometimes, you know, neither one wants to lose. They're not necessarily competitive with each other, but they just don't want to be second. And then, so what's kind of funny sometimes is to see them like do a shoulder to shoulder ruck. I mean, it almost looks like they're going at turbo speed, because they're kind of going back and forth as fast as they possibly can to sort of like keep up with each other or get a little bit of a lead. And it's just realizing like, you know, like that's okay. And that's absolutely fine. And I say the other thing is that like when we do these workouts, you know, we don't have to go and we don't go all the way through, making sure that I've got water bottles for all of us already set aside. So if we need to take a break, I've got water with electrolytes in there. So basically it's as enjoyable. The whole workout part is as enjoyable as possible.
That's really a great way to do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically for me, it's things I've sort of learned along the way to make sure that, as I said before, the whole experience is just as much fun as possible. And so to them, like what we're doing doesn't seem out of the ordinary. It just seems like something that we do as a family, which to me is just, is absolutely perfect. So April, we had those 7 workouts and we planned out the times that we could do them. And actually, some days we're able to do 1 or 2 workouts in a day because they might not necessarily take so long. And then May was 5 workouts, but one of those was as I would say to my easy, as we were talking about it, there was like one easy one, because that was, I think, a 24-minute AMRAP. But then there was a couple others that had like up to 5 miles. And there was one that had a 12-miler in there as well. And so, you know, we planned out, showed them all the workouts, and we talked about it so there weren't surprises. We had a day off because their school was closed, and I took the day off from work. So we had a whole day that we could do the 12-mile one, and we were going to do that at the end. And then we did some of the workouts that involved the movements and rucks, like on the weekends along the way, like slowly working through them weekend by weekend. I'd say like just chipping away at that. And for the 12-mile ruck, one of the things that we did was I made sure to pack for them an extra pair of socks. I made sure that the ruck was as enjoyable as possible. My youngest, Isaac, said that he didn't want to just do laps or loops. He wanted to like basically just kind of go somewhere and walk. So we went on a trail. So we drove to was like a really nice trail, and making sure before that I had to make sure that I had enough water for me and for them, like in the absolute worst case scenario. So I wound up having, besides my 30 pounds, like 7 or 8 liters of water with me, because just like we're going to be out here like 4 hours or something, just to make sure something happens. Before that, we also stopped at the supermarket, and I gave them each a couple dollars to basically spend on whatever they wanted. And so, you know, they wound up getting like some Twizzlers or some gummy bears, or, you know, just some food that they could eat with them that they would like, they would enjoy. I also packed a lot of sandwiches and fruit and like RX bars as well. And I know that my youngest son really likes like Werther candies. Those are like hard sort of caramelly sort of candies. So having a bunch of them for me, some for him, some other stuff that Asher would enjoy eating, and just planning out, letting them know, okay, we're going to go on a 12-mile ruck. Basically, I'm going to say we were all on the same page. I made sure we packed rain jackets as well because the weather was a little bit iffy. And we just started rocking, started going along. We weren't really worried about pace, just kind of going in a nice, comfortable pace. Made sure to bring along like a special gun stick for Isaac that I knew he would like. And Asher and I, we started playing games, and one of the games was Would You Rather. And playing Would You Rather with the 10-year-old and an 8-year-old creates, you know, some interesting challenges. So, you know, one of the things that I would ask Isaac was like, would you rather have a Nerf gun that always works, is very accurate, hurts a little but not too much, or would you rather have a well-trained monkey? Because he happens to really like monkeys. And then, like, Asher, I would ask him, you know, would you rather have a brand new Zelda game or brand new Mario game, you know, things like that. And so we would go back and forth with this, and it was the woods, and it was basically just the three of us. And at times we'd just be holding hands and walking along. And, you know, they'd want to know how many miles it was and how many miles we had left. And I would tell them the truth. And, you know, whenever we'd see a bench, we'd kind of stop, take a break, sit down, just sort of relax. It wound up that because there had been a lot of rain, there were some parts where the rain, at some point, the water actually came up to my waist because of how we would go under bridges, and they were able to walk along some rocks along the way. There's some other parts where we would all basically just get drenched. And then I think on the rebound, we wound up switching out socks as well for them. So they switched out their socks, which they both really, really liked and worked out really well. And they were able to use, what was funny is in the Echo, it's got a laptop compartment. And that's where they would stick like their Twizzlers, their gummy bears, all their snacks were in there for easy access for them. And then at the end, you know, we finished and they just couldn't believe it. Like, you know, they would tell their friends or family or whatever that we actually rocked 12 miles. And, you know, the parents or their friends' parents would ask me, like, did you really do this? And I'm like, yeah, we did. We went out and we did. And it's like, it's pretty impressive. I mean, Asher said, you know, after we're done, it feels a lot easier than it was. And that at the end, when we're almost done, it feels really, really good. It feels really good to accomplish these things. It's like he can't believe what we've accomplished. And we do it. You know, it's this long, big, grandiose thing. And you sort of break it into segments and you think about and plan ahead. And it winds up being a lot of fun.
And not only is it a lot of fun, but I mean, think of the confidence boost that they've got. During this interview, we actually lost power for a couple minutes. And when we got back on, Yori and I were talking about how he does partner wads with his oldest son. And that was before I had gotten the record button going again. So the preface for this next part is Yori and his son doing partner wads at their local CrossFit gym.
We always obviously scale it for him. And it's not really designed to be a competition. Basically, it's like do a certain amount of work in 30 minutes or do a whole lot of reps as long as it takes to do that, but no more than 40 minutes. And there was a workout that was more body weight oriented, so lots of like bear squats and push-ups and ring rows and things like that and burpees. And he and I wound up, I'll say, finishing first. And he was so excited about that, so excited that he wrote like a big long essay with all these emotions about how he was feeling, about how he didn't think he was going to be able to do it. But at the end, he worked really, really hard at the end, and he was able to do it, and how proud he was of himself. And, you know, he just goes on and on and on. Normally, he struggles to, like, think about what it is, what's an emotion, you know, what is that he wants to write and sentence structure. And he just kept going and going and going and filled up both sides of the page. And it was just really, really cool. And that's just the result of him doing something that he didn't quite think that he could do. And then he does it and realizes that not only did he do it, but it really wasn't that bad. And it's kids know. I mean, he plays soccer and he knows that he's good on defense. But he's not good on offense. Like he definitely struggles on offense, but he's real good on defense, and he tries hard and he runs hard and he's got pretty good stamina, but he knows where he is relative to other kids. And so he knows where he is, like academically, he knows where he is athletically, and he knows when he has put forth effort that he should be proud of. Because as a parent, you always want to praise the effort and you always want to like use positive reinforcements for things, but the kids know how big of a deal it is for something that they've done, at least internally. And so for him, like these rucking workouts, going on long rucks, accomplishing like 50 miles in 15 days, like he knows and he's proud of himself because he did it and nobody, you know, made it easier for him. Nobody took anything away or changed it at all. Like he did exactly what he was supposed to do as he was supposed to do it. And he's very much an order oriented kid. And so those things mean all the more to him.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, kids know their accomplishments. I mean, I remember I grew up in the age of participation trophies, but I mean, we knew, you know, when you go to a basketball conference or something and you don't come away with first, second, or third, you know, it's not
right.
It was no, there's no ego boost getting something like that. So, I mean, having those experiences where I mean, he didn't think he could do it. And then he comes through and does it. And then, like you said, he was just so excited about it. And he knew exactly what he wanted to write. And
yeah,
that's amazing.
It really is. And it's just, to him, it's like, and to Isaac as well, it's just kind of, it's become part of who they are. I mean, do they always want to go and do the workout? Not necessarily. But they know that they're going to do it. And they know that we're going to have fun doing it. And so that we go and we do it. And I mean, one of the other real advantages is, and I'm guilty of this as much as anyone else, is it's very easy to be distracted with phones, to be distracted with television, computers, with all these different things. But when we're out there, when we're working out, like there's the only thing a phone is ever used for is as a timer or to keep track of how many miles we've done or something like that. And so we're all there and present with each other. You know, my boys are present with me, they're present with each other, and I'm present with them. And that also adds a layer of genuineness to it, and it makes everything mean just a little bit more.
Yeah, and in this day and age with technology, I mean, getting those moments, they really, really are nice.
Yeah.
And one thing that I think is just really, really cool, and you didn't really say this, but I kind of got it from how you approached all of the rucks you've been doing, is that it seems like you're making it more about the entire experience and not just about the miles. Like you're thoughtfully prepping what you're going to bring for them, what they might need. You're, you know, making it fun as they pack their rucks for it. You're stopping at a store on the way, giving them a couple bucks. I mean, I remember when I was a kid, the specific times that my parents were like, here's $3, you know, when you stop at a convenience store, choose what you want. I mean, that's like the coolest thing.
I know. I mean, that's like hitting the jackpot. Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, basically just doing everything I can to plan and prepare to make the actual work part as enjoyable, as much fun, I'll say meaningful, but that's not exactly the right word, but as much take away all the other stuff, the grown-up stuff, take that all out of it so that all they have to do is just the workout part. And then after we're done with the workout part, you know, they can go back to doing the same kinds of things that they otherwise love to do. Video games, Lego, play with friends. But like, make it as easy as possible so that the part that we're rucking, the part that we're doing a tough workout, like that, they enjoy that.
That's great advice.
No, what I was going to say, something else that surprised me about this is that, I mean, they like getting patches, but the patches besides the whole, I mean, they got a Pathfinder Trailblazer patch from doing that, and they like that one because that is a super cool patch that they're both really excited about. But the monthly challenge patches, that, you know, it's neat and all, but it's not like, oh my God, I got this patch, I'm super excited. Like, that's not the thing. The thing is just, literally, it's like just the experience. I also thought, because I asked them, like, what was their favorite part? I thought that they would say like the reward they get at the end, but they didn't. Neither one even mentioned that at all. They all just talked about just basically doing stuff together and how that feels good and how they like the sense of accomplishment when they're done. And I asked them, I actually also asked them, you know, if they had any other advice, I'd say for grown up, or for kids. And Isaac, my 8-year-old, said that to convince them, convince the kids at the end that you'll be shocked at what you did. Asher said that you get stronger by doing this, and that some of the workouts are fun.
That's great. And I don't know what it is about kids and strong, but my son is 5 years old, and he'll come in and be like, Dad, ask me how strong I am. I'm like, how strong are you? And he'll stick his arms out and goes, look at all this power. And
that is so cool.
It's the funniest thing. And so I try, you know, not to laugh because he's taking this really seriously, but it's just adorable and it's awesome. And so, I mean, using that as advice for an adult, I'd be like, huh, that's interesting. But, you know, coming from a kid, I was like, yep, I can definitely see how my son would be sold on that in a second. I'm like, this will make you stronger. All right, sign me up.
I know. And also, it's just like in today's day and age, just finding any activity that they want to do, something physical that they want to do and enjoy doing. I mean, that's where it's at. You know, I mean, my kids play soccer because they enjoy running around and playing soccer. It could be any sport. And I'd just be glad that they're out there being active. And the fact that they want to be out there, you know, hiking, rucking, doing these ruck workouts with me. I mean, I'm glad that they're doing it with me, but I'm also just ecstatic that they think of being physically active as just normal, healthy, and the way that things should be. I mean, that's what makes it so wonderful.
And it's interesting how, I mean, I'm not sure how old you are, but how things have shifted, at least for me, since when I was a kid. I remember asking my parents for things, you know, to do outside, and they were like, no, you've got, you know, plenty of outside toys. You've got a bike, you know, just go run around and, you know, do crazy stuff with your friends. And now that I'm a parent, there's so many devices and so many reasons to stay inside and not go outside that as soon as my kids are like anything, you know, I wonder if it would be fun to skateboard. I was, you know, searching garage sales for skateboards the next day, and I found a skateboard for my son for, you know, $2. It was pretty awesome, but
it's like, awesome.
It's like any interest that they have of anything physical being outside. It's like, what can I do to try and make this possible? Because there's just so many draws to stay inside and sit on the couch these days.
I mean, I'm 43. I'll be turning 44 next month. And so when I was growing up, it was right around when video games were really taking off. And so for my parents, at least, there was a delicate balance between, okay, you know, go outside and play in the park, and then maybe you'll get like a half an hour of video game time at the end. But for my kids, it's very similar. I mean, one of the things, my youngest was really struggling. Both my kids were sort of struggling to learn a bike, learning how to ride a bike. And just last year, we actually had to go to the local REI, and they had like a 30-minute bike class that finally got Isaac over the hump to be able to ride a bike. But getting them outside riding bikes, that's something that they both really enjoy. I would say that, you know, making sure that you have good bikes for the kids when they get to that age, because if they enjoy riding bikes, it's certainly worth the extra $25-$50 to get like a high quality bike that they like riding. And that is easy for them to ride, because then it's something that they'll want to do more. But yeah, it's the same kind of thing with just finding stuff that, like you said, that the kids want to do and want to go outside and want to play outside. I noticed that because my boys are somewhat close in age, Like we'll go walk to the park or ruck to the park or bike to the park, and then we'll come up with some variation of tag. Basically wood chip tag, where you can't be tagged if you're on the wood chips, or you have to close your eyes and tag someone, or you can only be tagged if you're on the wood chips, or you know, a whole bunch of variations on various games. And that's what they'll use their imagination for. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying.
That sounds like so much fun. My kids are at daycare right now, and I'm already excited to go pick them up and take them to the park.
I mean, that's the best thing, is just being more physically active with them, with whatever it is, whatever the methodology is. It's just, it builds itself and it creates its own rewards. I mean, that's where it's at.
Yeah. And one thing that I find, and I think, I mean, you've mentioned this kind of throughout, is that by being more active with them, I feel like it makes them want to be more active. So all the examples you've given up until this point, it's been, you know, you all ruck to the park together. You all bike to the park together. When you got there, you didn't sit on the park bench and watch them play wood chip tag. You played wood chip tag with them. Doing all these things with your kids, you know, makes them want to be more active, compared to you see parents on the park and they're just on their cell phones the whole time while their kids are doing whatever.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Absolutely. Like 100%. Is it just it? I mean, in a sense, we're all in this together, like the three of us. And so we're all doing these fun things and all sharing these moments together. It's not like, oh, you kids go swim laps, or oh, you kids go do this, well, I'm just going to sit here. It's like we do all these fun things together.
And now you all ruck together.
Yes. Yes, we definitely do. I mean, one of the things that I'm excited about is to see, I mean, I'm in Chicago. If next year, if they continue with the start course, and I hope that they do, at the 12-mile start course, I'll have to talk to the cadres and see if they'll let the three of us go sign up and go together. We could be a team. Because I know that they could handle the distance. And as far as carrying the weights, I know my 10-year-old, he'll be 11 at the time, but when we ruck, he'll normally carry about 10 pounds with him. And my 8-year-old will carry like 5 pounds, give or take. So I may have to help my youngest out a little bit, but otherwise, like, you know, I know that they'd be good on the distance. They'd love walking around and seeing things. And as long as, you know, whomever the cadre is that he signs off on it, then it's something I would very much like to give a chance. And I know my kids would be thrilled at the thought of doing that as well.
He'd be doing it all together. It'd be a ton of fun.
Yeah, exactly. But also keeping in the back of my mind that, like, if the weather turns, if something happens, that it's more important to do it together as a family than to, like, say my 10-year-old twists his ankle, or my 10-year-old is vomiting or whatever, gets sick. Like, it's okay, you know, we're done as a family. You know, it's either all three of us can go all the way through this, or for whatever reason we can't, then, you know, it's not our day. We stop at 6 miles, you know, that's absolutely fine. And there's always next year, and we can always try again later. It's making the whole thing, even if it doesn't go the way that I would like it to go, understanding, like, that's life, that's absolutely fine. And, you know, there's always another day.
Yeah. Yeah. Having that mindset that this is, you know, it's a team event. It's no longer about you. It's about, you know, you have to make it about them. And as long as you can shift into that, I mean, I think everyone's going to have a good time.
I agree completely. I agree completely. And I mean, it's the same kind of thing that you learn from doing Go Ruck events in general. I mean, honestly, on a very different scale, because it's not paternalistic. You know, your teammates are equals, you know, you're not their parents. But same thing, where it's like, you know, you're there, and, you know, if you're feeling stronger and you can make their lives, someone's life a little easier by staying on that sandbag for an extra rotation, it's like, you know, you go ahead and you do it. And if someone's feeling a little woozy and, you know, you need to take their ruck, it's like, okay, you know, I can handle doing that. Like, I'm going to take their ruck for a while. I mean, it's that same kind of, like, positive can do all in this together mindset that just, for me at least, makes the event a lot more enjoyable.
And so for parents who are listening and they want to, I mean, get their kids involved rucking, they want to, you know, spend some more time together with them and use this as a way to do that. I mean, I think based on what we've talked about and the suggestions you've had, I mean, the first one is to really, you know, make it about the overall experience, take everything out of it so the kid doesn't have to depend on, you know, where am I going to get food, the water, the all that stuff, you know, turn it into a big whole event thing where you make it fun, packing for it. You give them a couple extra bucks to buy a snack if it's a longer ruck, and kind of look at it holistically as one experience, not just this is a 6-mile ruck or whatever it ends up being.
and, you know, and you have to have 10 miles in your ruck, otherwise it doesn't count. No, I agree completely. I mean, I would also say is we started small. I mean, we did some mountain climb, some mountain rucks, I'll say a while ago, but for these things in general, like our library is half a mile away. My kids love taking out various kinds of books and video games. It's really no big deal to, you know, to put our backpacks on, go off to the library, check out some books, and come home, you know? I mean, that is, it's easy, it's low-key, it's sort of good ways to just build into things, as opposed to, I mean, it just depends on the level of kids and the interest, sort of build up the longer things by doing shorter things successfully along the way, because you'd hate to have something planned out, and it's like, you know, an hour in, the kid gets a pebble in the shoe or whatever. He's just in a really bad mood or something else. And it winds up being a lot more challenging than it otherwise needs to be, just to kind of slowly ease into things. I mean, it's the same advice that you would use for a grown-up. You know, your first ruck shouldn't be a 12-mile ruck. The first time you put on a ruck should be okay. You know, you go around the block a couple times, trying to get used to how everything fits. See how your shoes fit, see how the weight feels, and then just sort of, you know, like slowly ramp it up over time.
I mean, especially when it comes to kids, because with adults, you know, there's some level of just tough it out that you can,
right,
that you can say to them. But for kids, I mean, if they're not enjoying it and if their first ruck isn't a fun time, then there's a good chance they're not going to want to do it again. So
exactly.
Doing everything to make that first ruck a lot of fun, even if it is rucking some snacks to the park and the park is
exactly
half a mile away. And you get there, you know, like ruck a picnic lunch. There we go.
That's perfect. And the kids have in their backpack, they have the food that they're going to eat or, you know, some drinks or whatever it is. You know, just a nominal amount of weight just so they're used to moving with having a backpack on.
Yeah, there's a lot that you can do to make that first experience a lot of fun. You know, bring a surprise snack for them in your ruck and they'll remember that. I mean, I remember my parents did that, stuff like that for me, and you'll turn that first ruck experience into something that makes them smile and want to do again.
Exactly. Exactly. And basically, it's like also, it's just if you have a place that's fun to walk around, you can just walk around there, be it for the kids, it might be a botanical garden, it might be the zoo, just some place where it's like, you know, the kids are excited just to be there. We don't have a lot of variation in the Midwest. So, you know, there's not like the forest reserves and things, there's a little bit, but there's not a lot. But the zoo or botanical gardens is just a fun place to go walk around, like, you know, for an hour or something, get in a mile or two, just kind of just get the kids used to just that kind of environment, just being on their feet.
And when you've got something to look at, I mean, it takes away from any, you know, pain you might be experiencing.
Right. And also give things to talk about as well. And yeah, it's always nice just to let the kids talk about the things that they want to talk about rather than the things the grownups want to talk about.
And kids have a lot to talk about.
Yeah.
Finding a nice place to ruck around with things to talk about. I mean, who likes putting in mile after mile on a track, you know?
That gets really old really quick.
It sure does.
In the winter, I mean, in the CrossFit gym that I go to that's really close to here, I think walking around inside is 100 meters. And when we would have to, it's like we're literally doing 16 laps for a mile. And that's the kind of thing where it's like my kids do it and we do it together, but having to do like more than a mile or a mile and a half, like that's just really boring. That's really boring just to do lap after lap after lap.
That's just, yeah, that's mind numbing at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of a heavy class that did their 12 mile ruck on a track, you know, and a nice quarter mile track. So I think they did maybe 48 loops.
48 loops. I mean, just having to keep count, just, oh God, that's just pretty mind numbing. I mean, I guess it would take like a couple miles just to even get in the groove. And then it's like you're getting passed by other people. So like that weighs on you as well. And it's like, man, I'm exhausted and I still got 24 laps left to go. So yeah, that would be tough. That would definitely be a challenge.
It definitely doesn't make it an enjoyable experience.
No, not at all.
And then for kids, I mean, it's 10x that because, like we said, you know, their world's a lot smaller. They've got a lot less life experiences.
The immediacy is just there.
Yes. That's a great way to describe it.
Because they don't know anything other than just being in the moment.
Yeah. And they can't because, I mean, that's their age. It's just how it is.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's just, and it's just been, it's been a lot of fun to go along the way. And like I said before, with something else, like we don't just do rucking. I mean, we do that a lot and it works out really well. But like the biking as well, a year ago, Ash and I, we went on a 25-mile bike ride together. This summer, I'm going to see if there's something similar for Isaac and I, or Isaac, Ash and I, to do, maybe like a 10-mile bike ride for the three of us. Things like that, just basically just kind of getting out there, being physically active and doing things together, like as a family unit. And it creates all of these wonderful holistic memories.
I mean, I've got a ton of fun spending time with my kids and just the stuff that we get to do together. And I think incorporating rucking is just another aspect in there. It's just another thing to do, another thing to bring up. And it's like, what do you want to do today? Just a way to shake it up a little bit.
Exactly. And I would say for the parents, when it comes to like the ruck workouts, if you're doing the ruck workouts from Go Ruck, like just kind of have in mind how it's going to go, like how the workout itself is going to play out. I know that like my kids really don't like bear crawls. I don't think anyone likes bear crawls, but for them, they don't quite know, like they don't quite have the whole body movements down. And so for them, like 100 meters of bear crawls is a real lot. And that could almost be like a stopper for some of these AMRAAM sort of style of workouts. And so just sort of making sure that your kids are good at pacing themselves. Because I know that for my kids, for some of these things, like they'll go as hard as possible, as fast as possible until they kind of burn out. And then sort of helping them not go so hard so fast, making sure that they take time to breathe, to relax, to drink water. If you're doing like one of the more AMRAAM or chipper style workouts, making sure that the kids enjoy going along as they go along and they don't get caught up in like what round they're in. It's like, oh my God, I'm only around 3 of 10. This is miserable. I hate this, et cetera. Kind of just getting them focused on just to keep moving.
My son's only 5, so he's not really doing any of the full workouts with me. But if I'm doing them outside in the backyard and I'm doing the bear crawl part, like he'll come next to me and, bear crawl down the grass, chatting my ear off. Like, Dad, why are we doing this? What are you doing? Am I doing this right?
That is so cool. And the answer is, of course, he's always doing it right.
Absolutely.
That's really, really cool. I mean, also the best thing about rucking with little kids in that age is that, you can go walk for a mile and then carry them for a half mile or so. I mean, depending on what your level of conditioning is, which kind of makes it fun for them, fun for the kid on both sides. It's fun for the kid to walk with you. And then, the kids like being carried as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, Mason's 5. He's a great age and a great weight to just throw him up on your shoulders. And I don't even need to bring a sandbag anymore. You can just ride on my shoulders, got the ruck, and it's both of us are smiling.
I know. I mean, that's where it's at. That's definitely where it's at.
My most expensive sandbag.
Exactly. I mean, one other thing is with the kids, and I say this, I mean, in May for Memorial Day, we did Murph, and I do it with a vest, and then I take the plates out of the vest, and Asher, he does it with just an empty vest, so it weighs like a couple pounds. So last year, we all did it, and they did, I think Asher did a half Murph, and Isaac did a quarter Murph. This year, Asher went, he ran a mile, and then, because he didn't know otherwise, he did 100 ring rows straight, then 200 push-ups, then 300 air squats, because he didn't know about breaking it up. So he just did 100, 200, 300, whereas when I did it, I did like sets of 5, 10, 15. I know when Isaac did it, he also did sets of 5, 10, 15. So Ash was just grinding through the ring rows, grinding through the push-ups, grinding through the air squats. And then at the end, he and I ran, I put ran in quotation marks, the last mile together. And he was, at the end, he was happy that he was done, but he was kind of disappointed because we went out with a wave of kids, but I don't think any other kids did the full Murph. And so he thought like he finished last by a lot. And it took him like 52, 53 minutes. And I was telling him, like, you got a really good time for a grown-up. Like, if you look at all the people in the gym, I mean, there's some people who are really good and they'll get it done in like 40 minutes. But the average person who does the whole thing, like they're going to be 50 minutes to 60, well over an hour. And which is a long way of saying the kids don't have a perspective for what's fast, what's strong, what's good, what isn't. In their mind, if something's taking them a long time, they, they may feel, as Asher does, that he's doing poorly, or like his effort isn't there, or like he's not good enough, when the reality is that that's just absolutely not the case. And after he talked to like some other people and coaches, then he started feeling really good about all the work that he had done. Whereas before it was like he was glad that he had finished it, but he didn't feel as good as he should have felt about his effort because he didn't have anything to base it on.
I mean, that makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting because as adults, you know, we're able to look at age groups, we're able to look at a lot of things and, you know, kind of reason stuff with ourselves. But I mean, I'll ask my son if he's an adult or not, and he'll say, yeah, he's a grown up. And, you know, he just doesn't have the same perspective. If another kid, even if he's, you know, twice his age, is running faster than him, he's like, oh, why am I so slow? It's like, you're not slow.
Exactly.
You're fast for your age, but that whole for your age concept.
But, you know, you're 4 feet tall and this other kid's 5 feet tall and his legs are a lot longer than yours. So he's going a lot faster.
I'm sure that was really hard for him, but I mean, that's incredible, that workout that he did. I mean, especially because he, you know, he did it all at one time. He did the first, then he did the second and the third, and goodness.
Yeah. And I mean, I was there when I finished with Isaac. I went back to see how Asher was doing, and basically just getting him water, making sure that Asher took breaks when he needed to, especially on the push-ups, that he didn't, you know, basically go until failure and just kind of break it up into sets, keep him motivated, keep him going along, telling him that he's doing a really good job, you know, just the standard teammate-y sorts of thing, but trying to gear it more towards, you know, like his age as well. You know, you're doing really good. You see all these other grown-ups here struggling. What you're doing, it's a really hard workout. It's hard for everyone. And just making sure that he knows that.
That's perfect.
And let me just say, like, he did the full Merc because he wanted to. In no way, shape, or form did I say, like, you know, if you don't do the Merc, you're walking home tonight. Like, that just absolutely wasn't the case at all. Like, he thought that he could do it, and he wanted to. And so we did.
I mean, I didn't really have a third point, but I think that is a great third point. You know, getting your kids involved in working out with your kids. I don't know personally if you thought that you could do the full Merc or not, but I know there's a lot of, you know, some of the bigger things that kids have ideas about, and supporting them in that, letting them try it out. I think that's great.
I mean, I agree. I'd rather them try to do something that might be a little too hard for them and not succeeding, as opposed to just trying to keep it easy so they don't take the risk. Like being willing to put themselves out there a little bit is a really nice thing.
Yeah. It's so easy to say, you know, you're too young, you know, look at your age, you're not big enough yet. Those are very easy things to say when your kid's got an idea that, you know, you're thinking about it, you're like, man, this is going to take like 3 hours, or this is going to take 2 hours, some of the bigger stuff. And it's like, I don't know if we really have the time. And that's just such a quick cop out. But for him to want to do the full Merc, I mean, you knew that he wouldn't be the, you know, the first person to finish, because there are some beasts at every single CrossFit gym.
I mean, plus he was also doing it with kids, and so he may have been the only kid who did a full Merc, or like the only kid under 14 who did the full Merc. So, you know, if there's a bunch of grade schoolers, you know, 6 and 7 year olds running all over the place, like, you know, that's a whole different thing altogether.
But for you to support him out there and say, you know, if that's something you want to do, You got him water, you supported him, and that's amazing.
I mean, it just occurred to me right now, one of the things that the rucking sort of has paid off is that for the very first time, Asher wanted to go out for, we have, with soccer, there's an extra program, sort of, I mean, with soccer, everyone plays, but then they have, I'll say elite, but it's more like elite in quotation marks, where you try out for a local team. And the local team is still part of the AYSO, and they go play against other local teams. But you have to, like, you have to qualify in the sense, like, you have to be good enough. You have to make the cut. And for the first time in, like, the 4 years he's been playing soccer, Asher wanted to try out for the extra. And he knew that he wasn't necessarily guaranteed of making it, which was something that he's never really shown any interest in. Like, he likes playing soccer, but as far as trying out for an extra team where there's a possibility that he really might not make it, that was... I was really happy that he did that, like really proud of him. And he wound up going, and he did wind up making the cut. I thought it would be kind of close, and it seems like it was a little bit close, but he wound up just being there. And he's like really proud of himself that he put himself out there and that it wound up, you know, working out well for him. But just the fact that he was willing to put himself out there is just it's nice to see kids want to do that on their own accord rather than, you know, be pushed into doing it by the parents. I mean, I have no desire to strong arm my kids to have to do things. There's enough things that they have to do already between homework and going to bed and whatever. Like the things that are fun, I do not want to have to strong arm them into doing.
Yeah, and you want to keep those things fun for them. And the more it's their idea, the more fun it is for them.
Right. And the more motivated they'll be to, you know, practice or get a good night's sleep or, you know, just prepare for whatever it is that they're trying out for.
That is so awesome. Well, congratulations to him.
Yeah. Thank you. On his behalf.
Yeah. And I can definitely see how, I mean, if you weren't sure if he was going to make it, I'm sure that he wasn't sure either, if that was something that he was going to get on the team for. And so by going out and wrecking, by doing the 12 mile or something that he wasn't sure that he could possibly finish, and then finishing by, you know, all these little wins up until this point, it probably gave him the motivation and confidence to say, you know, I've done other things that I didn't think I could do when I did them. And so I don't know if I can do this, but I'll sure give it a shot.
I mean, you're 100% correct with that. Like just the confidence victories, they build upon themselves. I mean, in ways that are meaningful to the kids, and it's really important for that.
Yeah. I mean, there's enough things out there in this day and age that's bringing people's confidence down that if you can do something to boost it, then that's good.
I mean, it's something genuine too.
Yes. Yes. Not boosting confidence just to boost confidence. But I mean, that's a real victory and that's really awesome.
It is. It is.
I want to thank you so much for just taking all this time out of your day. Is there anything else that we might have missed that we might not have gone over? Is there anything related to kids getting kids out rucking, advice that you have for parents, advice that you have for kids, just anything at all that we might have missed that you want to talk about?
There's two quick related things. One is that when it came to the rucking, one of the things that helped is that my kids have been doing kids CrossFit for about 3 years now. And Asher has been doing partner workouts with me where he's the only kid in a class of grownups. So he is he's literally like my peer and we're working out together. And that has been huge because it builds a tremendous amount of trust and patience on my part and trust on his part that we can work together. That, you know, if he's struggling with something, I'm not going to tap the ground with my foot impatiently, like, move faster, Asher, move faster. It's like, you know what? We're a team. If it takes you a lot longer to do wall balls or box step ups or to run or to row, that is absolutely fine. We're just here working out together. And so CrossFit, you don't obviously have to do CrossFit, but it set a really good foundation for us together. I mean, one of the things, I even got him a kid's barbell, which weighs 5 pounds or something, just so he could do whatever the movements are, a back squat or a thruster or a press with a kid's barbell. Just so, I mean, it was $100 or something, and he loved having it and made him look forward to doing workouts with me and things like that. And so that also, that helps set the stage for this later stuff. And tangentially related to that, it's, you get to the point that you want at the end by doing lots of little steps along the way. You just make it a habit. For us, working out together as a family, going on rucks, doing ruck workouts or whatever, it's just become a family habit because we do it all the time and because it's important. And that lets you have the longer, the 12-mile rucks, the 9 miles in the mountains, the things, the long bike rides, that all comes from building it along the way. And the second thing, related but not related, is that for me personally, within terms of my, I'll say, rucking, quote unquote, career, Pathfinder, I cannot say enough good things about the Pathfinder program. I mean, I started not knowing really any of the movements, any of the workouts, and I started with the Pathfinder Forward. And I did the Forward, and my kids did the Pathfinder Trailblazers. And the community, Lyle, the people, they all were absolutely phenomenal. And it helped me get my own confidence with all the stuff that I'm supposed to be doing. And it helped my kids as well. And they also did really like the cool patch. And that was well over a year ago. And ever since then, I've been doing, this might be my fifth or sixth session. I've done a whole bunch of forwards, and they just rolled out a new program, Horizon, geared toward the longer Star Course ones. And I was in Normandy and I did a 75K Star Course there. And the training that I got in the community from the Horizon program was like instrumental into helping me have the confidence and the abilities and just the experience and drawing from the other people to get me through like that 50-mile start course. Those are the two things as far as that goes. And as far as just to sort of summarize it for the parents, it's just make it as much fun for the kids as possible. It's like whatever goals and dreams and hopes that you have, sort of like throw that out of the way and just find something fun to do with the kids and make sure that they're having as much fun as they possibly can along the way. And that your mental state for yourself as the grown-up is fine, that you're relaxed. It doesn't have to be the perfect distance. It doesn't have to be the perfect weight. It doesn't have to be the perfect anything. It could be pouring rain and, you know, my kids are fine with that, or snow or whatever it is. But just making sure that it's fun and that it's meaningful to them, that you're talking, you're engaging with them almost like on their terms, and that they see it as just a fun family experience. And then it just builds upon itself.
That's perfect. I love that advice. Thank you so much again for taking all this time out of your day. And I really appreciate this call. This was a ton of fun.
Thank you so much as well, Brian. I mean, it was an absolute pleasure for me. I mean, you, as I said before, you give so much to the community. It's like, it's the least I could do.
Thank you so much for listening to the All Day Rock Off podcast. I had a ton of fun talking with Yori about this whole topic, rocking with kids, getting out there, really making it about the experience and not just about the miles, ways to level set and just make rucking a fun time for them. If you want links to anything we talked about during the episode, you can head on over to alldayruckoff.com. There's a link to podcasts right there, and that will have all the information that we talked about in this episode. If you want to support the All Day Rock Off podcast, there's a couple ways to do that. The no cost, aka free option, is to just leave a review on Apple Podcasts or on our Facebook page. You can search for All Day Rock Off and it will show up on both of them. The other option, you can share it with friends. This is a great one to share with fellow rockers who have kids, a great way to get them involved in it. And then if you want to support the podcast financially, there's always the All Day Rock Off online store at alldayrockoff.com/store. And there's Patreon. You can go to patreon.com/alldayrockoff, or there's a link in the show notes. And if you support through there, there's a little bit of extra bonus content you get that way. The final way, if you're making a purchase through GoRuck, you can use one of our affiliate links, acrt.us/GoRuck or alldayrockoff.com/GoRuck. If you buy something from GoRuck, then they'll help out the show a little bit. Thank you so much for listening. I truly appreciate you downloading the episode, and I can't wait to talk to you again next week. Thank you for the incredible support. And don't forget, attitude is everything. Keep yours positive and drink hard, rock harder.